no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Wait a second. What a fantastic holiday weekend it was.
I hope everyone had a great time. Certainly talked about some of the tragedies on Top Hat. My God,
wow. Can't we just have one fucking holiday?
You know what? No. We don't deserve one.
Oh, we don't.
We don't deserve one. We really do need to back the truck up and figure out some shit before we're allowed to party again. You know how I know things are rough right now?
How?
The only single person that had, and I mean this, on my block, the only house that was having a July 4th party was the Russian family.
Fantastic.
Across the street. And they were partying a little too hard.
No, that's where, like, July 4th still means something to the immigrant family. This is where my father used to be so American.
Yes, of course.
He was just, he would have blown his hands off with fireworks just to prove how much he loves that Uncle Sam.
I feel like the Russians across the street who are neutral. They've always given me a rough, like a good whenever they see me. You know,
one
like
of the nicest things they can say.
But yeah, I've never seen them show so much exuberance as they've shown this July 4th, where it seems to be they're just really enjoying how unstable things are.
Absolutely.
Almost in a way, they were like a destabilizing force as well. And they seem to have enjoyed their effect even on our neighborhood.
Well, as I told you before this show, don't worry. 2024, Howard Stern said he wants to run for president. And he said Bradley Cooper is going to be his running mate. We're doing fine.
Because you know how I normally celebrate? Because Natalie's out of town. So I was alone. So what I did, which I think was the most appropriate 4th of July celebration I've had in a while.
Okay.
But also, I spent about $45 on Chinese food kind of slip them some money on them just for when they take over. I can just be like, I was always one of the good ones.
Hmm.
And then I got my Riding with Biden dick sucking pads on. Have you seen these? Man, I sit and I light a little candle and I poured out a little bit of it was
wax.
Great. A little bit of wax in the shape of a J and a B. I put out some Metamucil, hoping Biden would visit me in my sleep.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Give me some of your fresh blood. Give me blood. I need blood. Because we are being run by a skeleton during a time period that is very difficult.
Absolutely. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. Truly hope that everyone had a safe July 4th, as safe as possible. Obviously, we know the stories going around.
Dude.
Anyway, today we are here again. You know what we do on this show?
What do
we
do?
Put your blinders on. It's time to be distracted by stupid news. If you want to hear all the other news, you can go to every other show that we have, and then you can go to every other show that everybody else has.
It's true.
You can feel depressed.
I will also say, we actually have an opportunity to show the real truth on this show. We have cut through so much BS. We have stopped. The buck has stopped here when it comes to
the
bullshit.
Buck.
Right?
Oh,
absolutely,
yeah.
Buddy.
Right.
Like how the woman that formed the doll last week, apparently, we talked about the rag doll with the rag doll family. I'm going to say go as far as to call it a rag doll family.
Not as far. That would be accurate. She has a rag doll son, I believe, with a rag doll husband.
Can I just say that? Apparently, Kissel, she might have done all of that for attention.
No, wait a second. Somebody married a rag doll and had a fake ragdoll birth for attention.
She might have done it all for attention.
Wait
apparently,
a second. Hold on. I don't believe that for even one moment.
I know, because it felt so genuine and unstaged, especially with all the pictures and her entire family being involved.
I don't even care if she did it for the attention.
Of course not.
Kudos to her. She rocked and rolled. If this was an art project, she got covered by one of the greatest podcasts in the history of the world, Side Stories, Last Podcast on the Left. So she did a good job. And I say, more power to her. She should continue this with a larger ragdoll family, and then she should turn it into an orgy-like scene.
But it's interesting. She actually
I got
did
all this
in
straw in my pussy.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's got to be the problem. All the corn bugs, like working your way through your bush hairs.
Yeah, dang it.
So this came from a listener, and I think it's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So apparently this woman, however I pronounce her name, Menemone. She works as a cleaning woman. And she is a Brazilian country dance dancer. We talk about she's a Faro dancer. And her mother made her Marcelo, her ragdoll husband, because apparently, Menemone, she wanted to dance. And they have this TV show called Domingo da Santina.
I want to dance with somebody made
who
of straw.
Fucks me. All right, cool. But she didn't find a partner. So for the show. So it was all a shtick.
No, that's
to get
not
on
a
this television.
She did not find a partner. So technically, she's absolved of all shtickiness. Her mom actually. This makes it real.
We also have to be. You have to be careful who you pretend to be, because we are. Who we pretend to be, because it seems that in the process of setting up this fake marriage to this ragdoll person as the pitch, like her character pitch to get on the show, all of a sudden now she's real ass married. All right. And that's really fast. But the thing
she's
was that,
really married to the ragdoll. Like she went to a magistrate and they were like legally married.
She got married because then she got put on in the runnings for a show that would give out a free house to somebody that they chose on the show.
Fantastic.
And she uses this. She used her delusional sex life as a way to maybe try to get into real estate, which is one of the most sound investments of a pussy I've heard in a long time.
I absolutely love it. I love that episode of Property Brothers when they go and they show her and Marcellus the house. And Marcellus just like, I can't take a shit there. That's okay. We need to have two vanities.
I don't even bring up the Property Brothers because
you don't like them for some reason. I like them.
Their incest, the incest that radiates off of them.
That's
with
just
Zoe
because
Deschanel.
Of your documentaries.
No. Ugh, I don't watch those ones. Mm-hmm. Zoe Deschanel just walking, watching the side, fingering herself with her fucking ukulele, watching the Property Brothers 69 each other. You know that's what happens behind the scenes.
Why? Is Zoe Deschanel married to one of them?
Yes.
No shit.
Yeah, man. She fucking sold out. I don't know why she wants to be.
Sold out,
but she's a professional beard, and she takes that money for some reason because she covered up for the two brothers that are obviously in deep gay love with each other.
No, I think they're just brothers. They're quite nice. I think there's actually a.
They're always touching belts. Like
they're
I
not
saw them one too.
Belts.
I saw one thing on the episode where they played a game called Hide the Handkerchief, and then turned out it was up his pant leg or something. He was going up there and fishing around. I wouldn't care if they weren't brothers. If they weren't brothers, I'd be like. Fucking suck.
Buddy,
do what you gotta do to move these
twins.
Units. Sell these houses.
They were in the womb together. They were sucking each other's dongs before you could even think of life. This is
wait
twins
a second,
have
wait
a different
second.
Kind of relationship.
Okay,
but
no,
I'm not
no,
saying
I love
that
this.
They do. But I'm
love
not saying
this
that they
sidetrack.
Do.
I love
I'm
this
not saying that they do. But
so
I'm just
saying
they've been intimate with one another. It's not. It's
you're saying the
like,
ultimate incest. The ultimate
incest
is for is babies sharing the womb together because they inherently suck each other's dicks and eat each other's pussies.
I have no idea how anything survives in the womb. I just know I wanted to stay in it forever. Also, I like the guy from My Lottery Dream Home because he's so funny. And anyway, he has different tattoos all the time.
You can tell with David. This is another sidetrack. You can tell with David on My Lottery Dream Home when he's been drinking before he shoots.
Yeah,
he gets kind of
so
puffy.
Funny.
You can see that. You can tell when he's hungover. You can tell when he's on a bit of a, like, he's trying to clean himself up. But he does get a lot of tattoos that are really weird.
Yeah, he's a fun little party guy, but he's got a good heart. And I'll tell you one thing. My favorite part of My Lottery Dream Home is the follow-up when you find out that whoever that person was dating is no longer in the picture.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's always, they're always there. They're always like, we're really excited. And at the end, I'd be like, Tammy and Bruce did end up breaking up because Bruce didn't have a job.
Well,
and
you
the
also,
family was like, you're going to have to break up with this man now, Mom.
There is a curse. Let me look at this up. I believe... The curse of the lottery.
I know
documentary.
There was one thing that happened, and I think the show has actually improved. I know this is not page 7. I'm sorry. We're going to get to a story here involving hot dogs in a second. But there was in the early episodes, they used to be like, "I want $1 million," and then he would show them like $2 million homes. But they have curbed that, and now they are showing people homes that are much more within the actual realm of possibility.
Because the most exciting episodes of the show is when they win big money.
Big money.
A lot of times, if they win $1 million, sometimes you could tell when the couple. This has gone way off the rails, but sometimes you could tell when the couple is obviously. Let's just say. crack enthusiasts, right? Like, you can tell that the couple is like, they, when they got that money, like, the first thing that dude did was get a brand new row of perfect teeth.
Perfect,
like,
teeth. Why wouldn't, like, you do it?
Did you slim? Which he needs to. I think it's important. The thing is, because you got to look good to feel good. You got to try to make, you got to self bump yourself up.
Totally.
But you can tell with some of those couples that they get that $1 million. Because what is $1 million in real life? 500 grand, right? Yeah. It's 500 grand. You're immediately getting that. If you're going to buy a house, you got to put 20% down if you want to get any sort of good mortgage, right? So that's going to be.
It depends where you win it too. If you win it in Wisconsin, though, for 250K, you can get a lot of land. I've been on my Zillow.
Oh, yeah, of course. But these guys, you can watch it and be like, that lottery win is going to ruin their fucking life. Like, they are not going to be able to handle the money.
My favorite lottery winners are the ones who show up, because they should never have to do anything in public. I think that that should be banned from the lottery.
You should wear a balaclava. Seriously, if you win the lottery, you put a Guy Fawkes mask on when you accept the money. Don't tell fucking anybody.
Never tell anybody.
Money.
Where did Robbie go? We don't know. We don't know.
Don't know.
You have to dress like the man who hosted the show Magic's Greatest Secrets Revealed, because he had a big puffy face and that mask was always so scary. And as a matter of fact, now that I think about it, there needs to be a horror movie with that mask in it, because it is just that scary.
It's the movie Demons.
Oh, yeah. I love Demons. Isn't that one where she puts the lipstick in her nipple?
Is it that one? I know it's in the movie theater.
Mm-hmm. All right, everyone. Speaking of July 4th, the first story we're going to talk about that happened on July 4th. My God, a lot of news coming out of Florida. But this one, you know what? Sometimes in life, you need to take the power back.
Absolutely. These days, we better, man.
You
we
have
got to, dude.
We must. We have to fight fire with fire. You can't just be Michael Moore and say, I'm leaving. It's like, get out of here. We have to stay and fight.
Yes, I agree.
Jason Stoll. Now, I know nothing about this man's political opinions or what he was fighting for.
No. This is not about what the fight was about. This is about symbology.
Exactly. Investigators say that Jason Stoll, he's 47 years fun. He was selling hot dogs in downtown in St. Petersburg.
Now, that was, he literally, right?
He was selling hot dogs.
That's not a euphemism.
No, he wasn't taking out his cock and be like, hey, $5 for a hot dog.
Hey, come here. He wants a lunch.
There's only one of them. Supply and demand. My God, you should charge a little bit more. St. Petersburg, by the way, home of O.J. Simpson.
Loves it.
Also where Hulk Hogan likes to hang out. And, of course, where beautiful Natalie and beautiful Henry were wed.
That's, and honestly, it's the three things St. Pete's known for. Also, Jim Morrison went to college there.
Is that right?
Yep.
No shit.
Fascinating.
I didn't know he went to college. So apparently the city was like, you can't sell hot dogs.
You can't sell hot dogs.
You can't sell hot dogs. Which is just like, Florida, let the man fucking sell hot dogs.
I thought freedom rung in Florida and like nowhere else where anything was free. It's like, it kind of seemed ironic. Those places that seem to be the most free have like the most rules.
Isn't it bizarre? There is a lot of STDs and warts on the Ding Dong State right now. So the police gave him numerous warnings that he's in violation of the city ordinance against selling hot dogs, which means like some fucking dickhead,
some
bitch was like, you're selling hot dogs and we're not supposed to sell hot dogs. And then the police were like, okay, we'll make sure we have a city ordinance.
Yeah.
This is why I wanted you to do that lawbreaker show, because I would go down there, I'd sling those hot dogs and I'd go and talk to the mayor.
Yeah, man, it's hot dogs, bro.
So anyway, Stoll, being an American hero, on July 4th, say no, people need their hot dogs. He ignored the warnings and continued to sell hot dogs on the roadway.
See, that's Benjamin Franklin fought for him.
But
he fought. He learned how to, he invented eating pussy so that that man could do that for freedom.
Absolutely, he did. So the he's like, I'm going to continue to sell hot dogs in the roadway even after the street closure permit ended. Then they say the defendant.
Oh, he was on the street?
Buddy, these are street dogs.
He didn't have like, you gotta be on the sidewalk. It probably be best to
it
be
wasn't
on the sidewalk.
A papaya, it wasn't a, what was it called? Papaya Joe's? Papaya Jack's?
Papaya King, which is now closed. So
fantastic.
Another woefully out of date reference, but it's fine.
According to Officer Anthony Bragano, the defendant was asked to put the hot dog down as he continued to attempt to sell
assholes.
It. So the
these
cop is like, put it down. He's like, no,
and
I'm
so
selling
got
this
a,
hot
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, I have a hot dog in my hand. And I was like, this is already like straight up the mid-transfer. And then the hot, you mean to tell me, ooh, I'd have a hard time. If I'm on the receiving end of that dog, I'd be like, I don't care what your law says.
Yep.
My mouth currently, I don't know if you could tell, you see how it's open for a big tube, right?
It's Switzerland. It's neutral. Give it the meat.
You see how my mouth is ready to receive it.
I do see it.
It needs to be filled. It needs to be filled or his mouth is going to start chomping on my family.
Absolutely. So Stoll was like, I'm not putting down this hot dog, brother, Brigano. And then apparently he became, quote, extremely upset. Mm. And at that point, he threw the hot dog at the officer.
How dare he? That's how pig on pig crime.
Classic. That's what you texted. I love it. So Stoll was then arrested for battery of a law enforcement officer.
See,
okay,
this is where
I don't need our cop. If a cop can't take a hot dog to
what else
fucking
are they
gonna
do?
Dome,
what can you?
What
fucking
are we doing
take?
Here?
The whole point is you take a fucking. Obviously, you can't. I just don't understand, especially as the son of a father who was a police officer and also probably would have killed to defend hot dogs.
Absolutely, right?
Like, my father loved hot dogs and especially illegal ones. Because they're out there. You know how many times we had a street fair and then the firemen would be out there
what
just
was
with
it
like literally a bucket of oil and a bunch of hot dogs out there.
Of
like it was called unregulated fun.
Absolutely. And you know the hot dog, when you mix so much unpure things, so many unpure meats together.
It comes out the other side.
Exactly. It comes out pure.
It's you know so, what it is, Kissel?
What?
It's the ultimate allegorical example of the melting pot that is America.
Yeah, I know. I realize it's not so much a melting pot. We're more like slammed together. And I don't know.
We're not even slammed together. It's a huge country. There's actually a lot of room in between us.
All right. So he was also charged with resisting, which is, as I call it, a misdemeanor. And because he was struggling with the cops who sought to place him under arrest. Again, all of this is for hot dogs. It doesn't matter.
It's just hot dogs.
You live in Florida, cops. Hey, officers in St. Petersburg, Florida, O.J. Simpson lives down the street.
What?
Go talk with him.
Go ask him. Honestly,
jeez Louise.
Good Lord.
So Stoll was released from the county jail on Saturday. He had a $2,600 bond. And
well,
he
unbelievable.
Lives about 40 miles away. So actually, you know what? Now that I've read the story, he's my guy. I stand by him. And these officers, you can't handle a little hot dog peddler.
You gotta stand
down.
What
are you going to do?
What else are you going to be? They're just so afraid, and I don't get it, because,
also,
again.
Also, you know, if we were there, it was July 4th, you're super hungover. I'm hungry, Henry. Or like when we were in Italy, and
yes.
Everyone got hungry very quickly, and then Eddie got a pizza that had a rotten egg on it.
Yeah, Eddie got super sick.
Yeah.
He's super fucking sick.
He's like, in Italy, you don't get food poisoning. It's like, yeah, you do.
Yes, you
get
can.
A lot of
you
it.
Get Italian food poisoning. You get it there. You get it straight from the tap of Europe. And actually, as a reminder, just so y'all remember, we are coming to Europe. It's a good
Woo!
Plug because I can't wait to get food poisoning in Europe again.
We absolutely, it's going to be so exciting. But this man could have saved somebody's life who was hammered, just in need of the nitrates that's in a dog. And instead, cops took him off the street. And don't you feel safer knowing that the hot dog slinger of St. Petersburg is behind bars?
Now, right. This is the thing. We're getting into sensitive territory, right? This is sensitive territory. People attacking each other with carnival food, obviously very, very, the most serious topics possible.
Speaking of shitty television shows, least favorite television show is Carnival Eats.
I hate it.
It's just disgusting.
Hate Carnival Eats.
Okay.
Because they're all exactly the same.
Exactly.
No one does anything special in a carnival. My old buddy in Atlanta used to run a restaurant that used to do like high level carnival food. Ooh. And that was really fucking good. That's different. But you don't get it at a carnival. Whatever.
Absolutely.
What I really wanted to talk about is like more so like what we know about. Because I'll give you a little bit of an insight. This is a story about what I know about yoga teachers from my time.
We're
like doing yoga, right? Last 2 years, the humble brag. I do like 2 to 3 hours of yoga a week. I like it. It makes me feel better. I have a lot of back pain. I don't have any more. It's nice.
You've
what
been
I've
doing very good with it. I remember when you started doing planking and of course me being me, like, man, you look like you're pretty cool, not very masculine. But I did realize when I tried to plank, it's quite difficult.
It is. It is difficult. But what I've learned about yoga teachers, much like therapists, right, is that in their personal lives,
it's unbelievable.
A lot of them are desperately insane.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about like our, because we got friends of the show that run yoga companies,
sure.
Black Widow Yoga,
has sent me some incredible gear, and they've done really good work.
Kind of a scary title for it, but okay.
But they're awesome. It's awesome, right? It's got great yoga classes and shit like that.
Do they practice like stabbing your husband to death? Then like, I mean, this is how you poison.
Well, no, no, it's just exactly. It's the big Gatorade bottle. You replace it with fucking antifreeze.
Yes, antifreeze, which they made not so sweet, which is kind of sad.
It's kind of be like, come on, can't I die with a smile on my face? Because that's how we're all going now.
Absolutely.
But they're all, a lot of them on the inside, these, because they're measured. I have a teacher I take in LA all the time who I like. I do it over Zoom, but like her mom also teaches yoga. And then her, when she's in the class, it's like she noticeably makes the class like much fucking harder. And you know, like you could feel all of the layers of emotional drama in there, like it's coming out.
She's trying to kill her own mother
using the yoga. But yeah, again, a lot of them. And on Instagram, in life, super tight, great abs. But the rest of their life is an absolute shit show. And total shambles. A story about this exact person, Caitlin Armstrong, who was just recently arrested in Costa Rica for the murder of a professional cyclist. Now, again, this is also a story about how hard it is to navigate long-term relationships and if you're going to have a on and off style.
Well, it's certainly off if you kill your on and off partner. Also, well,
this is not the partner. This is the we're going to get into it.
Just more of a general sentence with Caitlin Armstrong. I do want to point out as well, she's a Texas yoga teacher, which you know is for a fact. Yoga isn't quite as effective when afterwards you eat a shitload of queso.
And you'd be surprised. I work out to eat. Yes. I'm not supposed to, but I do. I work out so I can eat as much as I want.
What do you mean you're not supposed to? That's a great motivation.
Technically, I've been told that's an eating disorder, but it's like,
Shut up.
Give me some room here.
Come on. Live from your grave. Lately, I've been listening to a lot of these new artists like Townes Van Zandt and Waylon Jennings. And part of what makes it great listening is Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever with optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit. Their earbuds are so comfortable and do not budge. Raycons offer 3 sound profiles to match what you're listening to, plus noise isolation and awareness mode, so you can choose to be immersed in sound or be able to hear your surroundings when you need to. With Raycons, you get the same audio quality as the other premium audio brands, but at half the price, plus 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. It's no wonder Raycon's everyday earbuds have over 49,000 five-star reviews. I like to wear my Raycons when I go exercise, so you know I don't wear them often, but when I do, I like the way I look. Check out Raycon's wireless earbuds. You'll probably want to leave them a 5-star review too. Go to buyraycon.com/last today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/last to score 15% off. buyraycon.com/last. Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, it's me, man.
Yeah, bro. Henry Zebrowski is smoking some of that sweet last podcast on the left, babe. So go out there and purchase yourself some. I hope you enjoy it. We have sativa, we have indica, and we have a hybrid. And I have to tell you, from my personal experience, they are wonderful.
Super tasty live resin. You really get the delicious weedy taste, which is what I like. And 3 different experiences. You go to your local vape store and get it.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We absolutely love you. Can't wait to see you on the road and get that vape, put it in your brain, and have a good time.
And if you want us at your favorite weed store, give them a call and ask for them by name. Absolutely. Last podcast on the left, it's weed.
Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
All right, so here we go. All right. So Caitlin Armstrong, this fucking bitch. She was an Austin yoga instructor. Now, this woman, Mariah Wilson, who's innocent, was just a person that happened to date for a short period of time Colin Strickland. Now, Caitlin Armstrong and Colin Strickland, who's also a professional cyclist, they dated for a long period of time and then had a month off. Right. They did that thing where they decided to take a break. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Yeah. And I still believe if you feel as much that you need to take a break and then like, I don't know, like what's your example, right? Sure. You take a break for a relationship. You get railed out by a couple of people, right?
Okay.
Do you tell anybody? Do you, or if you get back together with me in person, do you disclose what happened during the break or not?
Definitely not. Definitely not. Why would you? What would be the point? All you're going to do is hurt people's feelings and cause bitterness.
And get somebody shot?
I just want people to be happy. Like if you're on it, if you truly do take a month long break, that is a break. And yeah, if you want to go sow some wild oats and see what the other side of a ding dong feels like, you're allowed to do that and vice versa. But no, that is between you, God, and whoever you banged out.
I also think, though, you should maybe talk about the terms of the break very implicitly.
A break is a break, Henry.
But also maybe the break should stay permanent if we're taking one. You know what I mean? Maybe we should rock this all the way out. That unless you have kids, does it really fucking matter?
Analytically speaking, I would assume if you're going on a break, I would say 90% of the breaks are forever.
For forever. Sure. Yes. So this is the thing. Caitlin Armstrong, Colin Strickland, they're together. They had a break in October. During the time period, Colin Strickland, her former boyfriend, met this young woman, Wilson, right? And they hooked up. And it
also
didn't sound
a cyclist.
Like,
I get it. You can imagine. Do you think they even feel their pelvic bones anymore?
They might be numb from the buckle down.
They really are, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Ask sidestoryslpotl@gmail.com. Hey, professional cyclists,
seriously,
do you have orgasms?
Can you have an orgasm? Do you feel your butthole? Do you feel your balls? Do you feel your clitoris? I can't imagine that you do after all that pounding.
What happened was, they gotten together in November, and of course, they got back together for what? For Christmas. Gotta get back together, you know, like nowadays you start watching It Was a Wonderful Life or It's a Wonder, whatever the name of it is, and you're just like, you know, I miss how she used to make me mad, and you want to like get back with her, you know, like maybe I'm supposed to be mad all the time. And so they got through Christmas and it's cool, but then Caitlin Armstrong, she learns in January that I guess it probably came up. I want to say it came up during Never Have I Ever. Like one of those where it was like innocuous.
No, tell me the truth. I'm not going to be mad.
No, tell me the truth. I will be mad. I will be mad.
Sometimes lies keep this entire world from exploding.
So just little lies, especially if it doesn't matter. Especially if it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Because you don't care. Like you and this other person broke up. All right. So they found out that she found out of this thing that what's this putt said? Like they had this little bit of relationship.
Yes,
during the break.
Strickland guy had this little affair.
But Caitlin Armstrong apparently was the response was that she became the quote furious and was shaking in anger. Right. Then Caitlin Armstrong went off and immediately deleted every bit of her social media presence. Now, she was an Austin yoga instructor. She had been around. People knew who she was, right? She just trashed everything.
Wouldn't this be the time to really breathe in and do some yoga? I just feel like her profession, it's not like she was a professional like martial artist or marksman. This is you're made for. You're a yoga instructor.
I don't know. I think this is the problem with yoga. Yoga sometimes can push all the rage down.
Oh.
And then it grows like plants, right?
Interesting.
So this is what happened. So on May 11th, the girl, like she deleted all this kind of stuff and she went away. The girl who was, I guess, like this is the thing, right? Again, dudes. Colin Strickland, I'm saying never went ahead and told Mariah
Wilson
that his girlfriend, his current girlfriend, was like off the rails upset about this type of thing.
I'd give a heads up on that one.
I'd say that, but it seems like he didn't because Colin and Mariah, they went out for an extremely platonic swimming, like out afternoon. Do people do this? I can't even imagine going.
A platonic swimming afternoon with just someone you've already hooked up with.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, yep. I know it's possible.
But okay. So is a four-headed chicken.
Yeah, so is, you know, not eating too much as an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's possible, yes, but it's just going to do it. It's there, and you know.
And then, of course, he comes back, and she was like, Tess, where you been? What was you do? What was your plan today? And it's like, and then he probably did went out with my best bud, Mariah. Right. We're just like super friendly buds. You know, just like doing that thing,
doing
just being normal.
Stuff.
But honestly, it is normal. They're allowed to if they set it up.
Absolutely. Of course.
And they were supposed to be preparing for an upcoming race. And apparently, that's when Caitlin Armstrong pulled up that night to her while she was in her car. She waited. She had been stalking her, found out where she lived, got all her information, pulled up to Mariah while she was sitting in her car, and she went back up, back up, back up,
and
fucking shot her up. Then, immediately, 2 days later, Caitlin Armstrong went and sold her Jeep that she drove up in for $12,200. She went through a circuitous way of traveling around, right? She went from Austin to Houston to LaGuardia. She then got a... I don't know how she got a fraudulent passport.
So did she like read a book on like how to be suspicious while traveling?
She did a full Gone Girl. She somehow got a hold of a passport that wasn't like, it wasn't like a deep fake one. It just looked like her. Like it just looked like brown haired chick.
It's a dangerous game to play if you're messing around with fake passports.
She's already a fucking murderer. She's like, wake up, completely insane. So she went down, she left the country, she went down to Costa Rica, and she had been in Costa Rica for fucking 2 months, right? Wow. She had already set up shop in a yoga studio in Costa Rica.
She was just moving on.
She was just setting up a whole new life. Just like, whew, well, that's over with. And just like wanted to just like do a redo.
Yeah, do a little redo. Unfortunately for Wilson, she doesn't have the chance to do a redo. She was in town. The victim was in town to compete in Gravel Locos, which is a crazy gravel race. It's a 150-mile race through Texas. Oh, that's so sad. She was found bleeding and unconscious with multiple gunshot wounds inside of the residence. Oh, yeah, my man. God.
No, it's very so scary. Sad. But it's really sad and it's really scary. And it just also, I think a lot of it comes out of I think that there's a lack of communication.
Or too much communication, because this guy shouldn't have told this chick anything. And also, like, how do you know until it's too late that you're dating a psychopath? Like, you don't.
That's the thing. You really
this
don't.
Is very
but,
scary.
But I think the way to stem it, Kissel, and this is for you as someone who's still single, I think truly the way to stem it is to have those hard conversations up front. Just be like, just so you know.
I think the hard conversation is what got her. That's what happened, though. And then she, but what if they don't take it well? And then what do I mean?
You're I don't
just
know.
Still, that's why it's just dangerous to date. It's just scary to date. For all human beings. It's very, very scary. You don't know. You're just with a stranger all the time. You don't know who this person is. It takes a long time for that stranger to become so either accustomed to you that you all become family. I don't know how it works out. I don't know how you don't know someone's not a murderer ever. Because I think at some point, anybody could become one.
It's like if you look at Caitlin Marie Armstrong, like she won't have a problem dating again. Anna Marie Wilson, like they were both just beautiful women.
They were just normal. Just and not, it's just, but she had went
good.
She had dyed her hair. Another thing that she was doing in Costa Rica is that she had punched herself in her own fucking face.
Why?
And bruised up. She was trying to like hide her identity. She had a bandage her nose and a bruised up face. They don't know whether or not, well, I'm exaggerating. They don't know whether or not she had punched her own face.
She may have. I could see her just throwing her skull against the wall, just be like, wow, and then just bang, and then God knows.
You already fucking killed somebody.
Oh, my God.
But I just feel so bad for the victim.
Of course.
Because she had no clue. She didn't know. You don't know what mess you're stepping in. You got to vet these guys. I don't know what we got to do here. I don't know how do you get transparency from somebody, but it's again they're willing to go all this way, fake a passport. I was looking up again that woman, the cupcake magnate woman, the woman what was her name, Ava.
Ooh, Ava, her name is
Ava Misseldine, who went by the name of Brie Bourgeois. That like same thing, just found the passport of a fucking baby. And then she had using that whole thing. Like she uses two different passports, her own passport and her passport, to get all this COVID money.
Double
she made
life.
Like $1.5 million in fucking COVID money. And it's really you got to be careful who you get yourself involved in.
According to Deputy U.S. Marshal Brandon Filla, he says once she got back to Costa Rica, she didn't move around a lot. And they were able to find her pretty quickly because they found a handwritten login and it had the same alias she was going by as she traveled to Costa Rica. So she like half thought about it. And again, she is obviously extremely scary and quite dangerous. And she'll have a lot of time to work on her yoga in a jail cell because that's one of the few exercises you can actually get.
It's really scary though. Yeah. So just always never ask your therapist or yoga teacher like, how are you?
Absolutely.
You need everyone to know.
Speaking of love affairs gone wrong and buffets, Carnival Cruises, they're back in a big way. My parents are actually on one right now in Alaska. They're going through
really?
Alaska. Yeah, and they haven't gotten that virus yet. They haven't liquid shit themselves to death. But we have a liquid shit story here in a second as well.
Yes.
But a Carnival Cruise Line, there was this massive 60-person brawl, right?
Dude.
And it was at the buffet. And again, just eat, nibble, have fun, relax. Well, how could you fight around food? But the
it
reason-
happened. The fight happened at the buffet. But this, unlike the other stories that we've covered this year, this was not food related.
It wasn't food related, but the food could have calmed the violence, I would think. Anyway, there was an alleged threesome. Now, there was three guests, and they were doing what you do on a Carnival cruise, because international waters, that's yep. where you can, you can't have an affair with someone on international waters. No. You can do whatever you want.
You must spread that monkeypox.
So one of the person's significant others discovered about the tryst on the trip. Now, I would say this again. If you're one of the people in the three-way and you are the person who has a partner and that partner is not involved in the three-way, make it a four-way. Or you're going to have to throw them overboard. Or you're going to do your damnedest not to make...
Yep.
I mean, you're going to try to
hard
do your damnedest...
conversation.
Hard conversation and like... Ah, it's going to be very difficult for them not to find out because you are trapped like that movie or like that, like fucking the train that goes by and it's very
Kissel,
Snowpiercer. You're
you
trapped
might
in a Snowpiercer-like event.
Seriously, you might go as far as to say it's a really fucking stupid idea.
Yeah.
And I like that one witness, Teresa James, she was a travel, she identified herself as a travel agent. She summed it up pretty well because, yeah, the fight yeah, turned it. Into a 60-person hour-long fight over all five levels of the ship. And according to her, she described the incident as ignorant fools acting stupid.
I believe that's the new television show coming to ABC, hosted by, oh, God knows who, Robin Thicke. So interestingly enough, wow. I don't know exactly how the threesome with the one person who's upset, that's four people. I don't know how the other 56 people got into a fight.
I don't know. So what it seems to be is that I hope that somebody has more info on the side stories lpotl@gmail.com. From what I was reading was that of the three people,
yes,
two of them had partners that were not involved in the threesome.
Oh, so of the threesome, so there was just one single dude now, banging two chicks. I don't know if they're men or women.
I don't know.
Banging
I don't know
two people who had partners.
Yes, and so in the singularity version of like how technology rises exponentially. So what I think what happens is that now you got two people fighting three people. All of theirs, like because the significant others come in. They fight the other significant others.
And then they got friends
on
other friends on friends.
Because it's Carnival Cruise, right? The family deals.
You don't travel alone.
Why not? A lot of it's family. So then all of a sudden, let's just estimate one family's got 10 and one estimates one family's got 10. Also, what really encapsulates being involved in a fight? Are you in the fight if you're just inside of the fight being like, it's a titty. Look at the titties out. Titties out. Like, because technically that just means you're a spectator, but also you might be involved because you're there, like, eating corn with the cop, going, like, pointing at titties, being like, oh, he pulled his pants down, his dick out.
Well, and I want to recommend if you were there on January 6th, Henry will be your defense attorney. No, he was simply looking for Nancy Pelosi's big, massive titties.
Wow.
Yes,
yeah,
I could see that. And then also you just have the random stragalongs who are just hungry, being like, you're fucking with my buffet experience?
And then also, or big livid? Group fight. Big group fight, right? Yeah, abortion, your fight. State just got fucking made illegal. You're like, I'll kick some fucking ass right now. Go in there, you fucking want to start jumping and fighting another thing. Someone could be like, I saw that fucking asshole. That's the guy who took too long at the hamburger bar trying to decide if it was a whack. Get right in there, man.
Absolutely.
It's just like, it's like during 9/11 where all the gangs decided to whack each other, trying to get their fucking, they're like, this is the time for us all to make all our fucking mafia moves here in the Carnival Cruise.
Absolutely. A lot of gang justice was served, for better or for worse. What I like the most about this is the melee began at 2:00 in the morning. Yeah. So no one was sober.
No one
was sober. You're never at a Carnival Cruise buffet at 2 a.m. sober. If you are, you're actually a sociopath.
I mean, unless you just are. I'd put it
not sober. Say,
I have had,
because that's not going to be the freshest food. I mean, I don't even know what the food is anymore on these Carnival
Cruises.
Every
2 hours, they used to do it every 2 hours. Used to do a turnaround. And honestly, it just depends on how big and fat and desperate you are for hamburgers. My family, when we were on the cruise, man, They chum the waters with this, with the hamburger bar on the Lido deck, man. You could feel it. You could feel the tension in the air when you knew they were bringing the new burgers out, because my dad would literally time them. He's like, you know, they make you fresh ones out there on the east. Was it the port side or whatever fucking bullshit? And so we'd go show up, hang out there like we were fucking waiting online for tickets for the Nine Inch Nails concerts, waiting for the fresh batch to come out. So sometimes it's about having an unhealthy relationship to food. Because we were a menace to society on there, dude. Well, they saw that fucking, but when all four white clumps showed up, dude, rolled in, like, you've heard the wee wee wee. Like, everyone's just like, oh no.
Yes, oh, indeed. No, here tumbleweed it comes. Rolling by.
It's the thunder cheeks.
Live from your grave.
A roast as dark as the night, perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes. He's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Springheel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
Speaking of food, and speaking of a tour that we'll be on in January, we can't wait to see you in Australia.
Australia. Oh, this is not even, this is the opposite of food. This is all about how, well, you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. It's the problem, man, is that, like, you can't just give in to a dare.
Well, we talked about the man who wanted to win a snake by eating a bunch of cockroaches, and then he died a vicious, violent death.
Vicious
death.
There's
this dude in Queensland. He's a dad, which makes the whole story so much sadder. God. His name is David Powell. Now, like any good Aussie, I believe he was dared to eat a gecko. And you have to say yes at that point, because that's a dare. And I don't know if it was a double dog dare or a triple dog dare. But anyway, so he ate a gecko. Long story short, 10 days later, he died because his entire intestine seemed to evaporate. And turns out geckos aren't edible.
No, dude, it is not fucking good. This happened in Brisbane, which is absolutely beautiful. Love that part of the world. Can't wait to go back.
Yes.
But so he got, he called him, he was a lovable larrikin, right? Which I believe.
A lovable larrikin.
A larrikin.
Well, then what the heck's a larrikin?
It's a boisterous, often badly behaved young man.
No, he's so a naughty boy.
It's like, he's a larrikin. So it's like, I guess, yeah, he was a guy that, like, if you needed a guy to eat a gecko, like, I guess he would, right?
He's your but guy. He's
he
your
was
guy.
A fun guy. He was a fun
he
guy. Is.
He's got three kids. I'm sure he was, like, kind of fun around the dinner table. He's like, I'll put the spaghetti up my nose. And then he does that little trick where it looks like he's flossing with it. I get it.
So December the 2nd, they had some big family thing. And then what they said is, like, the next day, his sister was just like, my belly hurts. He kept saying about how bad his belly hurts. My belly hurts.
Right.
And then they were like, they didn't want to do anything about it, right? Because they were like, well, of course. We're like, we don't want to take him to emergency room for no reason. And then he was like, my belly really fucking hurts.
It really
and it wasn't
hurts.
Until they got to the hospital where he's like, I'm more to eating a gecko. And they're like, what? You know, like, what did you do? He's like, I'm more to, it was a day. You know, I would only do it. And they're like, well, of course, you got to eat. It's a day. You don't want to be a pussy day, right? Because they don't want to make fucking, they all get it. But at the same time, they said that he just had a bit of the gastro.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, you know, he's just sick. He ate a gecko. He's got to pass it.
Full disclosure, right? this story is a little bit old, but isn't it a tale as old as time?
Well, this article just recently came out because they're still trying to desperately figure out what it was that he died of. But it's not good because at first they said that he had salmonella, right? So he had stomach cramps and he was like, ugh. And then they said he started throwing up green juice.
Oh, that's
right?
Not just like good. Juice.
And then to me,
the
that's like obviously, because sure, right? For a while, I think, gecko, he's green. That's cute. Like maybe that's what's coloring it. But then the worst was that his urine was black.
Jesus.
Which unless you're Trent Reznor and you've practiced that.
Yeah.
And you want that, right? For your urine, like you want spooky pee-pee. Right?
I guess so.
That's not good. But then he started looking pregnant, right? They said they looked at his stomach got huge and his lungs started filling with fluid. But the whole time the
what
doctor
if he gave
kept
birth to a big gecko.
Yeah, like, I mean,
that'd be kind of good.
That'd be
fucking
didn't,
sweet. It didn't happen. But
that'd be fucking, no, he died, but it would be sweet. Yeah. But the doctors kept saying, like, I don't know, like, we don't know. It's like, well, we think he'll be fine, right? We just like,
Doesn't seem like it.
And then his family's like, well, we're pretty sure he ate a gecko. And then the doctor, in the most doctor thing I ever heard possible is just said, that could have been it. Like, yeah, he ate a fucking gecko. But then they're like, there's no evidence. That's what they kept saying. There's no evidence. Like
he's a gecko absolved. He's got dissolved inside of our tummy.
It's coming out of it, right?
It turns out the diagnosis was simply salmonella. And I feel like
but
maybe
then
he
the next
didn't
thing,
need to die, but
no, dude,
definitely
then
did.
His balls swolled up to the size of grapefruits, and they're still like, it'll pass. And they were like, they asked him, where did the fluid in his balls come from? And they said that it was directly leaking from his stomach. And now, I didn't know that you could get there.
Okay, this is okay.
His balls got filled with gecko juice, and the whole time they're like, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. This happened to my cousin Pete.
His family said he basically rotted from the inside out. My lordy. Don't eat anything that's not a food.
He couldn't figure out what to do. And there was so much fluid leaking into his balls. And then all the family's like, why can't you give him like a catheter or drain it? And they're like, oh, we should have thought of that. That literally was what the doctor's response was. We should have thought of that.
Yeah, you probably should have. Just, I don't know, put a faucet in there. Just, I don't know, make yourself a little drink out of it. Do something.
Oh, it's very sad.
His whole insides melted. By the time they got him into surgery, he was basically already a dead person. And then when they opened him up, he essentially looked like a bunch of spinach dip.
Oh, my God. Like when I had to do the little dissection of a frog, I messed it all up. So he had three daughters, which is so sad. And his wife says he was a great person. He was the best person I ever met. He was the best dad to our children. I really don't want him to be remembered like this. But the thing is, when you die because you ate a gecko at a party for a gag, it's just the way that life is. You're going to be remembered for it.
I just don't eat a thing that is green. I really think that's a big thing. It's like, because you go or cook it. You got to cook it.
I just wouldn't think that you would die from eating a gecko. I kind of get the cockroach thing just because they're so nasty and gnarly and sharp and the sharp edges. I could see how it tears the esophagus. But you would think the human body could handle just slamming down a gecko.
I feel like just I made Jackie do that shot of mayonnaise once.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it was for some show. I made her do a full shot of mayonnaise. She got real fucking sick. But you know, like when it comes down to it, that's a fun prank.
Yeah, that's just you being a horrible brother.
But she said yes.
All right. Well, I want to tell this one story out of Colorado because I think this is an interesting tale and I want to hear your thoughts on it, Henry. So it's this Colorado woman. She runs a funeral home, right? And she looks fun. She's got her hair all blown out. She looks like the kind of gal who would laugh at the guy's balls or like look at the chick's tits and be like, whoa, look at those. But anyway, we wonder oftentimes, where do all these body parts come from? There was a Colorado funeral home director. She has now pled guilty to selling hundreds of illegal body parts. She's 45 years old. Her name is Megan Hess. She has devised and executed a plan to steal bodies from hundreds of victims from 2010 to 2018.
Yeah, man. And she definitely has. I've sold human hands out of a bucket hair.
She does.
She looks like she stuck her finger in an electric socket.
She faces up to 20 years in jail, which, it's a little bit like Ghislaine Maxwell got 20 years. Like these crimes are not the same. She's dealing with corpses and Ghislaine was dealing with alive girls. But
it is a thing where you need to. I think that the idea is to discourage illegal body sales. Because again, it's hazardous material, especially if it's not regulated and if it's not kept correctly, it can make a lot of people sick or all just not be useful. Or it's just like, are we just eating these hands?
Well, because according to the sources, they say that has sold the remains of the victims. Sold those remains to victims purchasing the remains for scientific, medical, or educational purposes.
Where else do you get the bodies?
There are legal body part markets. We've talked about this on the show. This is a thing where it's kind of funny where she truly is, unlike John Wayne Gacy, just running a mortuary
without
a license.
She truly is. She didn't kill these people. I mean, that's a whole other story.
She's just shipping out these body parts because, again, you know, like if people, they have to come claim these bodies because, you know, it's just sad. It's just more... It's more symbolic about how these are all people that were not claimed after death. So she just viewed them as essentially garbage or whatever she could do with whatever she wants with it.
I don't know if this is a fair comparison, but like Pizza Hut. I've actually kind of gotten back into Pizza Hut. We didn't have it in New York. I like my Pizza Hut. But I remember when I worked at Pizza Hut. It's disgusting.
Selling human body parts for profit is very similar to Pizza Hut.
Yeah. In a sense that when you work at Pizza Hut, you see pizzas all day. You're like, ugh, there's another fucking pizza.
Yes.
Oh my God, breadsticks. Wow, cool. But when you get it delivered and you don't work there, you're like, dang, breadsticks.
Wow.
So she is surrounded by human bodies at all times.
Oh, yeah. So bored.
For her, it's like, here's one. Here you go.
Get these out of here. Yeah, I got stacks of these hands.
I think she must be extremely desensitized to the body parts. And so,
it's very possible. Very, 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 very.
I mean, I don't know. But apparently it was an elaborate scheme, which also included forged paperwork and misleading buyers about the results of medical tests.
According to the DOJ,
again, the Department of Justice, this went all the way up to the federal government. There's a lot of stuff going on right now with it seems to be like domestic terrorism and things like that. But anyway, they were involved in this mail scheme, including, quote, shipping bodies and body parts that tested positive for or belonging to people who have died from infectious diseases.
It's
like
Hep
B, C.
Yeah, you just don't know, man. This is the problem. You don't know what's in it if it's not regulated. And it's just, you know, it's ghoulish. But
it's also ghoulish.
It's just business. For a lot of the people, and that's why they look at it. And like, it gets a lot of attention recently because we are kind of starting to pay attention to this body market. But yeah, I'll always remember the story in Arizona with the guys all washing the fucking torsos in the parking lot with the hose and just being like, this is my job. Like, essentially, I'm just, it's like I'm cleaning out the fryolators.
Someone's got to do it.
Because they just don't care. Like, because again, for research, it makes total sense. Like, again, it's weird how the ghoulish and cryptic nature of medicinal research has followed it throughout the history of science research, about how, like, surgeons started as grave robbers, and it still has not been, because we have, I'm going to maybe blame a little bit of our religion, I'd say the ever pervasiveness of a religious outlook on every single level of our interactions in this country. And this idea that, like, when you're dead, you don't fucking know what's going to happen to you. Who gives a fucking shit?
But you know what?
I don't want it to happen. I don't care about my grandma. I don't want it to happen with somebody I love. But again, you know, like, it's also weird hang-up.
You all threaten to cut off my legs so you can save money on a casket every time. And to be frank, I don't give a fuck.
Of course, because we'll sell the legs.
It is funny. I just don't really want to be in a casket underground, though. Even though I know I'm not going to, know. You can just feel free to just blow me up or have a bunch of fishy meat. Ooh, feed me to chihuahuas.
I would like for you to, how do I want to bury you? Like, fantastic. What do I want to do at the end? I think that if we could just take your face, that'd be kind of cool.
Stretch it out.
That would be fucking sweet. Yeah. If we just got your head, that would be cool.
You can do something with that. Just have it looking at a beautiful gal for all time. But the nice thing about this story, Megan Hess, 45 years old, obviously arrested, but her accomplice was Shirley Cock, 66, and that was her mother. So they did it together.
I like a con family.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Because then there's a business at least, and everybody's getting along. But yeah, we just don't know, because I feel like if they do sell something that's if they don't sell the right body parts to the right medical institutions, are they going to get the right results from what they need?
Yeah. Also, they would charge like $1,000 for cremations, and then they would give people back,
just random garbage.
Bunch of dirt.
Yeah, man.
But again, I don't know if 20 years. I think 20 years seems a little bit up.
It's more that, like, I actually don't mind her, like, because she'll end up serving 10. Right? A lot of times she can get out of there.
Well, no, it's always 3/4. Now they changed all that, so she'll probably do 17 or something.
But then, you know, Do I believe that Ghislaine probably could get 45 years? Absolutely. But I still think she's going to fucking, quote unquote, fall ill.
Well, I watched my boy Larry, Larry Lawton. You can listen to my interview or our interview on Top Hat with Larry Lawton. But he had some interesting things to say about the prison system when it comes to the female perspective and manipulation. It's going to be difficult. But she has money, so she's probably, as usual, money helps.
And she'll be in isolation. Yeah. She'll be far away from everybody. She'll only have to rub snatch with anybody she wants to rub snatch with, and they'll fly him in and stuff. Because she won't be able to be near anybody else.
I don't know. Also, just lastly, a story that's just horrible in Savage, Minnesota. Ironically enough, there was this dude who ran a animal sanctuary for rabbits, but then they found 50 dead rabbits in his barn. The name of the place was dubbed Peace Bunny Cottage. According to a criminal complaint, they found 47 dead rabbits, scores of rabbits running loose. And then he had just a bunch of there's a bunch of rabbit shit all around and a bunch of baby rabbits infested with maggots and stuff. So anyway, that's a horrible story. And it's just horrible. About rabbits.
Yeah, because you say Peace Bunny, but it's just more like Peace Bunny. You know what I mean?
Peace Bunny. Goodbye, Bunny.
Bunny. You're going to hell, Bunny.
Never trust anyone who has a rabbit rescue, I guess, either, because...
No, you should. People normally,
I've never heard stories, of a rabbit LPOTL. Rescue before.
I'm sure there has to be. Side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. Do you know of a rabbit rescue that doesn't kill every one of the rabbits? Are they good?
Yeah, Stephanie Smith was the gal's name. Apparently the animals were not in appropriate condition. So anyway.
Really did horrible. Great story, Kissel. And no I'm just problem. Glad we kept it light.
Keeping it light. All right, everyone. It's time for Hero of the Week. Why is it always animals that are Hero of the Week? What about people?
The reason why is because we haven't had a genuine hero in the country for about a year.
Well, if you were annoyed with me making animals Hero of the Week, wait until this Hero of the Week, which is technically a road.
Yeah, so he's just made an inanimate object.
Officials from Tennessee State Parks, the Tennessee Department of Transportation, and local leaders cut ribbon on a 2.5-mile-long road made from rubber crumbs derived from tires that were thrown away inappropriately.
You see, and he acts as if the road chose this.
The but road also did, because say, isn't the road now sentient?
But I've said this to Natalie, isn't it nice for things like litter to exist, because then animals can find new ways to find little homes in them.
Isn't it cute when you see like a little snail estate. In a Mountain Dew can? Yeah, that's what they love. They love it.
I did read
that there are new types of fish now that love fucking microplastics.
Oh yeah, dude. No, so we're that's great. I can't wait. We're going to be really surprised what adapts to what we're forcing the planet to become.
Absolutely. So these tires were illegally dumped in an area around the park. Don't be doing all that. They were then transformed into crumbs by the Patriot Tire Recycling in Bristol. Yeah. And now they become a tire road. And one of the things I like about it is you can almost feel, remember when they would do a new track and field, and they would have like the rubbery ones? They're kind of fun to run on because they don't hurt your knees as much. So I can imagine this road is kind of comfortable as well. And this is a reminder to reuse, reduce, recycle. So workers cleaned up 24,000 dumped tires, and they were able to get 2.5 miles out of them.
I'd say the workers who made the road are the heroes.
No, I'm looking at the road right now, and it looks extremely cozy, comfortable, and it's just nice to know that there are roads out there taking responsibility for the environment and making themselves out of recycled tires.
See, this is the thing, because this is the only other Hero of the Week submission we got.
I was going to give it to the hot dog guy.
Yeah, I mean, that is the closest, but the other one is man rescued facing charges in Greene County after floating nude on a group of logs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's heroic about that. He didn't get away.
He said that he was blaring and singing the song God Bless the USA over and over again.
I think that might actually just be that dude who initially sang it. That guy who went freaking batshit crazy. What's his name? Yes. Ted Stevens or something like that?
Yeah, Ted Stevens.
Something like that. Ted Stevens, but he is absolutely insane.
God. All right. Well, I don't really, you know what? This week, I don't have a lot of letters. I'm going to come back next week with some letters. I'm going to use this opportunity to have you go out there and pre-order our new Last Comic Book on the Left, version 2. It's out there. Go pre-order it. It's going to have even more shit. We have crazy artists on this comic book, and you should fucking check it out. It's going to be like, we've worked really hard on it. I wrote a full comic book for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited. Detective Popcorn's making another appearance. It's gonna be fucking sweet. So that's my letter from me to you.
All right. Well, there also, it is.
Yeah. You got to love every day knowing for a fact that you're your own country. And sure. You're your own dictator of your own little country. And so what's important, though, is to remember
Ray Stevens.
Like, you're Ray Stevens.
Thank you.
Ray Stevens. Thank you. But you're on your own little dictator, right? But that doesn't mean you necessarily have to go and invade everybody else's other shit, right?
Don't do it.
Maybe you want to take care of your own little jurisprudence and laugh knowing that you are in charge. Of your little world. You can do whatever you want to your own belly, to your own body, to your own feet, to your own, like, whatever you want. You can do whatever you want with your own sphere.
I don't even know if that's entirely true.
I can yell at Wendy, but also praise her.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, maybe
you can do both, but it's only for her protection, right? Again, I'm her, that's the only thing in this world I have total control over is that little dog.
That's true. Yes, indeed.
But still, she has way more freedom than she even should.
They're in control of us, aren't they?
Because
are they the ones in charge? Or
are they the ones? But also, I don't want the responsibility of any form of anybody else's life. I don't want to be in control of you, all right?
No.
And I love that.
Absolutely. Leave people the fuck alone. Also, we want to congratulate Ed and Julie Rosin.
Seriously.
They had a fantastic marriage. And we say Ed Rosin? Is this Ed Rosin? Rosin.
But that's his legal. He's still Ed Larson professional.
He's still Ed Larson. But I thought that was very sweet because he was looking for a last name and he took hers. And that little break of tradition is very romantic and very sweet. And they had a wonderful wedding. So congratulate them on Twitter or whatever. If you see them, just be like, congrats.
Congrats. Was because Larson was actually a whitewashing of his very Jewish last name by his family. They did not want, they had a more difficult pronunciation. Pronouncing name, and then his father changed it to Larson. So now he's like, I want to be me.
There you go. Absolutely. So congratulations to the beautiful couple. And it's so nice to have another duo hitched here at the LPN network.
Yeah, it looks like
you're looking at me.
Yeah, you caught the bouquet and then you ate it like a horse. Which was incredible. Honestly, it was incredible.
To be fair, it was an edible arrangement made of nothing but beef jerky. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustulations, everyone.
Hail me, fuck up.
All right.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.